will be the first in a series of four papers with my co-authors and colleagues on a project that we've been working on for the last 2.5 years. And it has a lot to do with the infrared warming system that was developed mostly by Bruce Kimball. Well, our objective here simply was to characterize and quantify interactive effects of soil temperature, volumetric water content, populations of bacteria and fungi estimated through DNA techniques that I'll defer to my expert colleague in the background, on a hard red spring wheat crop grown in an agricultural soil. We had simple hypotheses, and one of them, of course, was that we believe that the infrared warming apparatus itself would alter the microclimate, and these alterations in the microclimate would have an impact on soil processes, but that these processes would have interactive effects. Well, the study region was a semi-arid desert region of the Southwest, which is commonly very hot and dry with high vapor pressure deficits and plenty of solar radiation. We use a T-phase temperature-free air controlled enrichment apparatus, which utilizes infrared heaters to elevate the value of the canopy temperature above the crop by 1.5 and 3.0 during the daytime and nighttime, respectively. This was on a hard red spring wheat, certain soil type, adequate nitrogen, typically normal agronomic practices. The important thing here is that we performed a first order correction and added 10% more water to as a supplemental irrigation to the heated plots as opposed to the reference and the controls. The reference and controls were well watered. We had a 3x3 Latin square or end-or randomized complete block design, so we had relatively good statistical rigor in the data set. One can see an aerial view here of the hot cereal experiment, and one can see planting of 3-meter diameter circular rings, and here would be a block, and so you'd have all three treatments, and here's your 3x3 Latin square. Well, we were able to elevate the temperatures above the crop with an infrared warming apparatus to our desired, or somewhat close to our desired set points. One can see here the supplemental irrigation in place, the infrared heating system above the crop, and one can almost envision or see the crop heading out a little early. Through an infrared camera, one can actually see the hot spot in the canopy. And lo and behold, we actually do have clouds in Phoenix. Well, our temperature treatments did get to the set points for most of the period of time. We were slightly under the warm, but we were able to get at least and only get to 2.5 as opposed to a little less than 1.5 on the control. Our frequency distribution of the infrared heater was also quite tight, so we were able to get real-time control of the system. And the parameters we wanted to measure were intra-row soil CO2 flux, and then some temperature, gravimetric, bacterial counts, and there's a poster on this on Tuesday, November 3, if you're interested in the techniques associated with the bacteria and fungal marker estimates of the biomass. Well, microclimate effects, getting into some results. Well, the canopy of the wheat canopy was 1.3 warmer than the heated. This was about 0.2 below what we tried to get at 1.5, but fairly close. And here we were about 2.5 off by about a half to the 3.0 we were trying to reach. So essentially, we need a little more power in the system to get these temperatures, and those types of refinements are presently underway. We did exceed about a 1.3 increase in the temperature of the soil of the heated plots, and we had about a 14% reduction in the volumetric water content. So the heated plots were warmer and drier. Well, we did manual survey of the around solar noon of the soil CO2 flux, and we had an autonomous system as well that ran 24 hours. And one can see that the setup is a Lycor 8100. and the soil sampling that went along with these soil biology data. Here we see some gravimetric, volumetric water content, almost no difference, but we are seeing a slight separation out in the dry weight of the bacteria, and but we see a much greater separation in the surface layers when we look at the log of the biomass estimated from the markers of the fungal. And we're seeing a difference in the temperature between the heated and the control, heated being warmer than control, but we're not seeing much of a difference in the flux at this point. As we traverse through a couple of days, we're going to see some changes. We're going to see the separation of temperature is still consistent, but we're getting a slight deviation in the fluxes between the control and references, although not probably statistically significant at this point. Although one can see the soil is getting drier, and the populations of the bacteria and the fungi are somewhat acquiescing, although we do have a slight separation down here. As we move, we see a greater decrease in the fluxes, and we actually seeing a reduction in the fluxes. This reduction, we believe, is associated with this drying of the soil. And we don't have much of a difference in the temperature as much as we had before, but the significant factor is the soil is drying and the soil respiration or the soil CO2 flux is beginning to separate. Somewhat of an inverse relationship as one might anticipate, but that is alluding to the fact that it's an interactive effect. In the long-term autonomous system, the system was allowed to run for 24 hours. You can see the system running in its autonomous mode. In the plots, here data is being downloaded through a PDA system. And what I did here, for instance, was to compare 3 days using days as a rep. On the best case scenario, we see really good agreement with the temperatures and the soil water content as well as the solar radiation, whereas in some, these are the worst case scenarios, and even the worst wasn't that bad in terms of cohorting the data into replicants by day. Well, by doing that, we were able to get the relative moisture content. You can see initially we're starting off almost similar in terms of moisture, maybe a little wetter in the heated plots, and we're seeing the heated plots having a greater flux and also seeing the warmer temperatures. But as we move on, we're seeing a coalescing of the volumetric water contents. We see a little hump here in terms of the soil, primarily, I believe, because of the development of the root system in the crop, and we're seeing a similar separation in the heated, still warmer than the reference plots. But here we're seeing a coalescing of the soil moisture content, we're seeing a flip in the respiration, and still warmer temperatures in the soil. Again, a greater separation in the water content as the heated plots are drying down, expanded expansion in the flip in the CO2 concentrations, and still temperatures are somewhat similar. And finally, we see a much drier scenario. We see a much more radical flip in the response, and we're seeing temperatures also either coalescing or flipping. So if one were to summarize across all of the midday survey data throughout the periods of time we collected these data, one were to take the midday survey data and then also take the midday points from the diurnal data, one would be able to come up with the first time we collected these data, the second time we collected these data, and one can see the heated is greater than the reference here and here, and then we see a flip. And then, again, we see it here and here and here, and then it begins to flip here. And if one were to plot out the relative difference in the volumetric water content, one would see that as the soil is drying down, you're beginning to see a flip in the CO2. So this is also quite consistent with the literature, which suggests that initially, you get an increase in the flux of CO2 after a wetting event and until a lot of the organic matter has been volatilized off, and then you start to see a decrease or a coalescing between the treatments. And the heated effect, the heated had a tendency to Infrared warming altered the microclimate, increasing the temperature of the soil and decreasing the water content. So we accept the hypothesis one. But under high volumetric water content, we see an increase in CO2 flux, whereas in a low volumetric water content, we see the opposite occurring. We see a 10% reduction in the volume as the volumetric water content was decreasing. The ultimate conclusion here then, of course, or an ultimate result, would be that the soil CO2 flux was dependent on the interactive effects of soil temperature, volumetric water content, and the population of bacteria and fungi. So indeed, we do accept the second hypothesis as well. In conclusion, one can state that a more complicated paradigm may be required to elucidate the effects of global climate change on sequestering of carbon in agricultural soils. And knowledge of this interactive effect will one day allow us to maintain a sustainable cereal crop production system in a future high CO2 world. Thank you so much.